He also inherited superb royal institutions. And above all, Philip managed eventually to bring the Greeks more or less under control. He conquered sections of northern Greece and incorporated into the kingdom. And after the Battle of Chaeronea in 338 BC, the Greek states of the homeland were enrolled in a league headed up by the king of Macedon, Philip, and its avowed purpose was to avenge the burning of the temples of Athens back in 480 BC. Even the Athenians didn't try to play that one. It was a PR move. And it gave Philip and his son Alexander the resources of the Greek city-states, particularly their fleets, the fleet of Athens, to conduct a war in Asia, which would ultimately benefit the Macedonian monarchy. So when Alexander came to the throne in 336 BC under mysterious circumstances, his father was murdered, and there's a lot of stories about why that was the case, Alexander inherited not only the Macedonian kingdom, a greatly enlarged Macedonian kingdom, but also this confederation of Greek states, Athens. Sparta was out of it. The Spartans stayed out of the alliance for some time, and since they were regarded as insignificant, they were ignored. But most of the Greek states in the Greek homeland were incorporated as allies of the Macedonian king. And the reason Philip and Alexander opted for this arrangement is they did understand enough about Greek institutions not to impose overt royal control, to respect the liberties of the city-states, at least nominally. And the Macedonian king was only a captain general, a strategos is the Greek word, a general, where we get the word strategic, the commander of the allied forces. And in many ways, the images of the early war against Persia were invoked. Well, the Persians looked upon this with great alarm. They knew that Philip planned to invade Asia Minor, but when Philip was assassinated, the Persians were quite relieved. What can a young king do? And they had a new king of their own, a man named Darius III, who had his own problems. One of them will later turn out that he tends to run away in the middle of battles, which is not very encouraging to the Persian army. And in any case, Darius III, when he came to the throne in 336 BC, the same year as Alexander the Great, did not expect an invasion from Macedon, far from it. Instead, Alexander accomplished in 18 months something that surprised everyone. He pacified the Balkans. He put his kingdom in order, humbled the Greeks who tried to revolt on two occasions, and within 18 months invaded Persia. It was about as bold a move as anyone could do. He had an army of perhaps some 40,000 men. He faced an empire that could field thousands upon thousands of cavalry, had more money than it knew what to do with. I think the sum is 180,000 talents of gold and silver were eventually seized by Alex. And also ruled an empire that stretched from the Aegean to the Indus, 40 million residents. It looked like sheer folly. In May of 334 BC, on the shores of a little river called the Granicus in northwestern Asia Minor, just to the east of Troy, where Alex made his first stop to propitiate the shades of Hector, since he's a descendant of Achilles, he's going to conquer Asia, he won a spectacular cavalry engagement. Within perhaps a matter of 10 or 15 minutes, his army, which had been marching all day, came out of line of march into line of battle. Alexander saw a tactical flaw in the Persian battle line, attacked immediately, routed the Persian army, and encircled and destroyed something on the order of 10 or 20,000 Greek mercenaries who were fighting in Persian service. The battle was decisive. Most of the nobility of Persian Asia Minor fell in the battle, and the whole of Asia Minor was his for the taking. And what Alexander found was, as his father would have if he invaded Asia, that the Greek cities rallied to his cause. The Ionian Greeks welcomed the Macedonians, and Alexander, within a year, occupied Asia Minor west of the Taurus. Everywhere he was greeted as a liberator, in Asia Minor at least, he respected institutions. He was a dramatic figure, charismatic, and without a doubt, a military genius of the first rank. I think only Napoleon has a chance of matching Alexander in terms of military ability. At Gordian, the old Phrygian capital, he solved a riddle known as the Gordian knot. That's a carriage which was tied up in a very complicated knot, which apparently went back to earliest days of Phrygian rule. King Gordius or King Midas had been carried around in that chariot, and he cheated. He either took the linchpin out or he cut it with his sword, but he untied the Gordian knot, and there was a legend that associated that untying the Gordian knot, you will be Lord of Asia, probably meant Asia Minor at the time, but Alexander took that to mean everything east.